CD 6. Chapter 22. All she wanted, Grace Fryer thought, as she flicked through the local paper, was a bit of good news. There had been only one piece of it so far in 1926. Miss Wiley's new law, to her and the dial painter's delight, had been signed into being. Radium necrosis was now formally a compensable disease. In many ways, it had been a lot easier to get it through than Wiley had anticipated. Other than that, however, it had not been a great spring. Grace's jaw problems had started back up again. She had now lost all but 3 teeth in her lower jaw and had to see Dr. McCaffrey 3 times a week, while her back was incredibly painful. She hadn't had it looked at by a doctor in a while, though. It was too expensive. Nonetheless, despite her troubles, Grace still commuted daily to her office. She commented simply, "I feel better when I am working." Indeed, she was said to meet people cheerfully in the bank. Yet there was another reason to keep on with her job. Quinta remarked that Grace was working, so she won't be a burden in her family. Grace had incurred medical bills of some $2,000, and her parents certainly couldn't cover them. Yet even if Grace put all her earnings, which were about $20 a week, towards her medical treatment, it would take her 2 years to pay what she owed. She had no idea where she might find the money. Well, no idea but one. By now, she had spent almost a year pursuing different attorneys, pretty much on her own, too. Faced with lawyer after lawyer turning down the case, the other girls seemed to have given up. Albina was not at all well. She saw only close friends and was unable to leave the house due to her locked hips. James Larice did his best to put a smile on his wife's face. "He cheers me up," Albina said, "and says I'm a good sport." But it didn't help. "I'm such a burden," she cried despondently. Although her sister Quinta carried on resignedly, her disability was progressing too. The white shadow now showed in both her legs, while Kniff could do nothing to save her teeth. As for Catherine Sharp, nobody even saw her anymore. She stayed at home and refused to go out. While other girls are going to dances and the theatres and courting and marrying for love, Catherine said mournfully, I have to remain here and watch painful death approach. I am so lonely. She left the house only to attend church. While Catherine had not been especially religious before, she now pronounced, "You don't know what a consolation I obtain from going to Mass." As she was now unable to work, her medical bills fell to her family. Her father, William, who was in his mid-60s, did his utmost to help, but Catherine's sister confided, "It's pretty hard on Dad. He can't work like he used to." As time went on, despite these crippling bills, the girls started to doubt that a lawsuit was the right way to go. Perhaps it wasn't fair to blame the company? For Catherine had eventually consulted Dr. Flynn, and his unbiased opinion was that radium could not and had not harmed her. Catherine, naturally, told the other women this, and that got them confused. As Albina put it, "We all thought it significant that of the several doctors who treated us, only one doctor, Dr. Martland, had informed us that our illnesses were due to radioactive substances." With the women in bad health and a question now raised over the company's culpability, a lawsuit was the last thing on their minds. The last thing on the other girls' minds, maybe, but it remained a high priority for Grace Fryer. Still reading the local newspaper, she turned the pages slowly, deep in thought. And then, to her astonishment, she noticed a small piece buried within the paper.